Amen. That's outstanding, isn't it? I appreciate when young people use their talents and gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes from Him anyway. We ought to give it right back to Him, you know. Amen. I'll amen myself. You're not going to amen me, folks. No doubt about it. Turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter number 23. We're approaching the end of the book of Joshua, and my, what a journey it has been. What a great book. Of course, we can say that about all the books of the Bible, because it's all God's Word, and we praise His name for it. We've come to Joshua chapter 23. We'll read three verses of Scripture, actually two and then part of a third verse. Joshua chapter 23, verse number 1. Joshua 23, verse 1. It came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Skip down to verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Now again in verse 1 it says he's waxed old and stricken in age. He calls all the elders and the heads and the judges and the officers. In verse number 14, he's in the middle of his message, and he said, this day, right now, I am going the way of all the earth. In other words, he's saying, I'm dying. That's what he's saying. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, Joshua's dying message. Joshua's dying message. Now, you understand that this message goes all the way through the most part of chapter 24. We only get started with it in chapter 23, but since I haven't studied chapter 24, in other words, this might continue in chapter 24, I don't know until I get to it. But I do know that Joshua recognizes something here. His days are numbered, and he's dying. So he gives a message to the nation of Israel. This is beautiful. I trust it'll help you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this church. Lord, we thank you for you, that you are the one that makes this church a reality. And I pray and thank you for the service we had this morning. Thank you for all the services that went on these grounds. And I pray for this service tonight. I pray for our Cub Cadet program going on, our 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I ask that you bless them and teach them and help them, I pray. I pray, Lord, that you bless in here in a mighty way and help us, I beg of you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's a beautiful thing that just before the service, Ford and Angela Davis's little girl came up to me and she found me. She says, hey, come here. And she had her little Cub Cadet book and she said, I need to learn my memory verse because if I get my memory verse, I get a Bible pen just tonight. I said, okay, let me have it. And I was like, okay, John 14, 15. She said, I don't have to know that, she said. She said, I only need to know the verse or whatever. So I said, if you love me, she said, if you love me. And she went on to say, keep my commandments. Boy, that was a blessing tonight. It really was. By the way, they know what they need to do and they know what they don't, and they're not going to do anything they don't have to do. Amen. Is Ford and Angela in here? Yes. God bless you that you have one just like I do. Amen. Glad I'm not the only one, you know. That's good. You know, anytime a person comes down to the end of their life, knowing their days are numbered, it's interesting to note the things that come out of their mouth. You know, they'll say the things that are closest to their heart because they realize their words are running out and their words are very few. Therefore, they choose their words wisely. Now, this is the scene we have here in our text tonight. One of our Lord's great generals is nearing the end of his race. He's been mightily used of God from the time he was Moses' minister in Exodus 24, 13 until this very day when he's speaking right here. God has blessed him. And we've seen him leading Israel through the Jordan River, following the orders of God and seeing his enemies fall all around him. And he's seen the Lord do miracles and keep his word. But now Joshua's nearing the end of his God-blessed life. And he knows he's getting ready to die. He knows his days are numbered. And no doubt what will come out of this man of God's mouth at this point is of utmost importance. Now, by his divine choosing, our Lord has seen fit to record this message for us so we can hear it. It's God's word. As we consider Joshua's dying message. Now, what I want to do is I want to listen in. And see, the beauty of this is even though this was recorded many thousands of years ago, God has made it real to us today. And it's like that we can just sit up right beside him and draw up beside him on his deathbed, so to speak, and hear this man of God speaking to us. And let's hear what comes out of his mouth. There's three things I hear as I listen to this message. In chapter 23, there may be more things that come out in chapter 24, I don't know yet. But there's three major things I hear as I hear and listen to this message on Joshua's deathbed. The first thing we hear as we listen in on Joshua's dying message is we hear his recognition. His recognition. You know, sometimes when people come to the end of their life, they take time to speak about themselves. First, in other words, what they've done and what they wish they had done more and how they've fallen short. But thank God they did this and thank God they did that. And in other words, a lot of times when people realize they're dying and realize that their days are numbered, they'll begin to talk about themselves and build up themselves or tear down themselves, whatever the case may be, but not Joshua. As Joshua's ending nearing the end of his life, Joshua's words were not about himself. Joshua was simply giving recognition to his Lord. We see him recognizing and praising the Lord for his multiplied goodness. As a matter of fact, he highlighted three things about the Lord that the Lord did for them. First of all, he highlighted the Lord's past goodness. We see this in verses 3 and 9. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Look at verse number 9. He goes on to say, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. Do you notice the past tense here? He's saying the first thing I want to recognize for my dying message is I want to give recognition to the Lord and the things he's already done for you in your past. Let me ask you a question. How good has God already been to you? What all has he done for you? What goodness has God shown you already in the past? If you're saved, what a great thing God has already done for you. All I'm saying to you is that Joshua, the first thing we hear during his dying message, he's nearing the end of his life, and the first thing out of his mouth is saying, remember what God has already done for you. He's recognizing the Lord. Second thing he recognized, not only his past goodness, but his present goodness. We see this in verse 10, where he says, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that, here it is, fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. That's in the present tense. He's saying it's the Lord. He's saying from here on out, if you face anybody, you'll be able, one man will chase 1,000, because God is right now fighting on your behalf. We see him recognizing God's past goodness. We see him recognizing God's present goodness. We see him recognizing God's future goodness. In verse number 5, it says, in the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. This is a beautiful thing here. In a nutshell, Joshua is drawing the attention to the fact that God Almighty is a faithful God. He's been faithful in the past, he's faithful now, and he'll continue to be faithful, and that's where his message begins. Recognition. He's giving praise to the Lord for all he had done, all he was doing, and all that he would do for his people. And let me pause here and say that God has been good to us. He is being good to us, and he will be good to us. He's a great God, and we need to spend our days recognizing him and his goodness to us. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 109 verse 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Psalm 111 verse 1, praise you the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 135 3, praise you the Lord, for the Lord is good. Psalm 146 verse 2, while I live I will praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. And it's interesting here that as this dear dying man of God, what a general he was, what a leader this man was. God used him in such a wonderful way. He really did. I mean, Joshua was a mighty man of God. But one of the major reasons why God used him is because he was a lot like Caleb. Almost every time he opened his mouth, he's talking about the Lord. You know what we need more of? We need more young people. We need more teenagers who are interested more about God than sports. Who are interested more about God than the soap operas and music and all these other kind of... Hey, you know what we need? We need some young marrieds who will open their mouth and give praise to God and start recognizing the Lord for His goodness in the past, for His goodness now, for His goodness in the future. Hey, we need some older saints of God who will stand up and say, let me tell you something. God has been good to me. He is being good to me and He will be good to me. We need some people like Joshua that as we're dying, as we're getting closer to the grave, we're not recognizing ourselves, we're not recognizing our church, we're not recognizing our Sunday school class, we're not recognizing our families. We are recognizing the Lord and His glory and His goodness and His praise in our life. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. We need to recognize Him, give Him all the glory, give Him all the praise. He's been good to us and we need to praise Him for it. First thing we hear coming out of Joshua's mouth during Joshua's dying message is we hear his recognition. But secondly, we hear his instruction. We see this in verses 6 through 8 and verse 11. Now here this mighty man of God is. Get this, he's old and dying, yet he's taking another opportunity to be a trainer and to instruct others how they could be all they can, to be all they can be for the Lord who had been so good to them. It's interesting, he started his message off by saying, God's been good to you, He's still good to you, and He will be good to you. And because of that, let me give you some instruction. Let me tell you how to live your life. And he gives them a three-point outline. Are you ready for this? Let me give you three things to do with your life. Number one, live by the Word of God. We see this in verse 6, look at it. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Now what's the book of Moses? The book of Moses is the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Understand, that's all of the Bible they had at this time. So what Joshua's gathering them together, he's saying, here's what I want you to understand. God has been good to you. He is being good to you. He will be good to you. And because of that, number one, live by His word. Obey Him. Whatever He tells you to do, your answer should be yes. You tell Him yes. If you tell me to jump, how high do you want me to jump? If you tell me to do that, God, I will obey. I will live by the word of God. In the same way, we should make up our minds right now that we're just going to obey God and live by His word. Hey, do you want peace in your life? You know, I am a simple gospel preacher. I'm simple. And listen, I pray that God keeps me simple. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He keeps me simple because that's what I am. I can't get very deep, you understand? But I've learned something just like I've told you before. If you can't understand it, it's not going to help you. Can you understand this? If God says it, do it. Anybody misunderstand what I just said? It's not hard. Joshua's saying, I want to tell you something. God's been good, He is good, He will be good. First thing, be courageous and obey everything God tells you to do. Simple but yet profound. Deuteronomy 13, 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. Jeremiah 7:23, walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know what your life boils down to? It boils down to this. Will you let somebody else tell you what to do? And the fact of the matter is, we are guilty so often that we as a human being will not even let God tell us what to do. For instance, do you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody or something? What's God say about it? By the way, God has a will in everything, remember? He has a will in everything. God says, let all bitterness be put away from you. But we try to justify and say, well, but you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what he did. You know what that is? That's saying, I will not obey God. I will not listen to him. Just put it out there like it is. And the fact is, Joshua is saying, here's my first point for my sermon for you under my instruction, because God has been good, is good, will be good. Here it is, number one, whatever he tells you to do, live by the word of God. And I'm telling you, that's the Christian life. Living by the word of God. Number two, here he goes. Number one, live by the word of God. Number two, leave and cleave. We see this in verses 7 and 8. Look at it. He says that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. That's leaving, you understand? But notice verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. We notice him saying, live by the Bible. Number two, leave and cleave. Notice in verse number 7, he mentions leaving the other nations. In other words, do not get tangled up with them. Stay away from them. Don't allow yourself to be influenced by them and their ungodly acts. This is a direct, listen, this is in direct obedience to the word of God. Because the Bible tells us in Exodus 23:33, before they ever went into the promised land where they're now in, he told them in Exodus 23:33, they shall not dwell in thy land lest they make thee sin against me. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, don't turn to it, just listen to it. In Deuteronomy 7:2-3, it says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. And yet right here, we see that Joshua is saying, hey, remember God's word back there? I've already told you to live by the Bible. Here's something he told you to do. Leave these nations alone. Don't get tangled up with them. Separate yourself. Don't intermarry them. Don't intermingle with them. And folks, in the same way, we are not supposed to get comfortable with this world. And we're not supposed to get comfortable with its ways, but rather we are to leave this world. Are you listening to me? You're to leave this world. Proverbs 4:14, enter not in the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He's saying you need to live by the Bible. You need to leave these nations and you need to cleave unto the Lord. Because in verse number 8, after he tells them about leaving in verse 7, he instructs them about cleaving to the Lord in verse 8. In other words, they were to stick to the Lord. Get as close to God as they possibly can. We see this phrase about cleaving unto the Lord used in Deuteronomy 10:20, Deuteronomy 11:22, Deuteronomy 13:4, Joshua 22:5. And let me simply say here, now listen to this, leaving and cleaving, that is true biblical separation. That is Bible separation. You know what a lot of Baptists are good at? You listening? They're good at condemning that and leaving that. But they don't give you the main part. Oh, you ought to separate. You ought to get away from that. Oh, stay away from that. And that's true. But how do you separate? How do you leave that? You leave it by cleaving unto the Lord. In other words, I try to paint a picture in your mind. Let's say that this microphone stand here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And let's say that let's just make this gift basket. That's the Lord, okay? Stuff that'll satisfy you. Amen. I'm seeing Oreos in there. I'm seeing a large Hershey's chocolate bar and Pringles. Amen. Yes. And let's say that this microphone stand is a picture of the world. Now here's what a lot of people try to get you to see. Bad, 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 bad. Turn your back on it. Stand your firm your ground. And they wonder why they feel empty. And why there's such a strong urge to go and turn towards this. The reason is because all they're trying to do is this. Instead of this. And they get closer and closer to God. And as they stick to Him, they get further and further away from the world. And as they're truly drawing upon Him and truly, truly getting satisfaction from the Lord, they don't want that because they realize that is fake. That can't give you true satisfaction. And what we're saying is Joshua saying, listen, leave those nations alone, but don't just leave and stand there in the middle. Cleave unto the Lord. It's separation from the world unto God. Don't you see that? You get as close as you can to God. And as the world gets worse, and it is, by the way, don't let that alarm you. God told us it would happen. And as the world gets worse and gets worse and gets worse, as you stay stuck to the Lord Jesus Christ, it gets further and further and further away from you. And no matter what the world tries to strip from you, it can't take anything from you because you're in true fellowship with Jesus Christ. Leave and cleave. Leave and cleave. Number one, live by the word of God. Number two, leave and cleave. Number three, verse 11, love the Lord. We see this in verse number 11 of our text. He says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. You know, this is where the rubber really meets the road. When you love the Lord, you will live by His word. Amen. And you will leave and you will cleave. Now Joshua's saying, here's my instructions to you. I'm getting ready to die. I'm going the way of all the earth. God has been good to you. He is good to you. He will be good to you. Live by His word. Leave the world. Cleave unto Him. But don't forget, love God with all your heart. Because if you don't love Him like you should, you'll not live by His word. If you don't love Him like you should, you'll be found cleaving unto this and settling for a pathetic hoax when right over there is what you're really craving and what you really need. See, I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you really love God? Now, I believe everybody listening to me right now is probably thinking to himself, oh yes, I love God. Let's put it to the test. John 14:15, Jesus speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said himself. Let me ask you a question. My wife's sitting here, beautiful, beautiful lady, beautiful. She's lucky too to have me, I'm telling you. I'm just playing, you know. I hope I'm playing on her, you know. Now, I can look at her and I can say, I love you. And she knows I do. But let me ask you a question. How does she know I love her? Because I said it? No. It's because I proved it. Why? My actions speak louder than my words. Now, what do you think it would do to her if I got caught up in some horrible, immoral sin? But then I came to her and said, I love you. It doesn't mean a thing to her. Now, thank God that hasn't happened. And praise God, by His grace it'll never happen. Amen. But I must show her more than I say it to her. Because if I want her to believe it, I've got to back it up. Jesus said, put your heart where your mouth is. You love me? Do what I say. That's what he's saying. Goes on down in verse number 21 and says this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In verse 23, he goes on to say this, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Here's what Joshua's saying. Joshua's saying, let me give you some instruction. My instruction to you is love God with all your heart. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Do you really love the Lord? Let me ask you a question. How do you love the Lord the way you should? I go back to the marriage. How'd you fall in love with your mate? Say we're not in love, then you're in trouble. How'd you fall in love with your mate? Well, I just flipped through the yellow pages and there it was, and we got married and it's instant love. Hogwash. Let me tell you how you fell in love. You spent time with each other. You studied each other. Right or wrong? Amen. You afraid to say amen to that, folks? You spent time with them. And over a period of time, you got to know them. And the more you learned about them, the more you loved them. Remember those love letters that you used to send or you used to get? What'd you do with them? Did you tear them up as soon as you got them? No. You'd make sure nobody's watching. And you'd go somewhere and lock yourself up and you'd pore over them. Because you realize that the one that you love is the one that wrote it. I submit to you that you love the Lord the same way. You have to get to know Him. How do you know Him? By spending time in His Word, folks. This is a written revelation of who our God is. It was 1898 and Ben had left the East 8 years ago to head out west in hopes of making his fortune. Well, he didn't become rich, but he had accumulated over 300 acres of good land and built a comfortable farmhouse on it. He raised wheat, corn, and all of his vegetables, and he had managed to build his herd of cattle to over 200 head. And having accomplished all this in only 8 years, he decided that it was now time. The ad that he placed in the New York newspaper said this, and I quote, "Wanted, a good woman, willing to be a pen pal. Marriage is a possibility for the right woman." Before long, he began receiving letters from Molly. Their correspondence soon turned into love for each other, and now he stood in the Kansas City train station ready to finally meet her. He had never met her. All he had was her letters back and forth. When the train arrived, there were a lot of women getting off, but suddenly he yelled, "Molly, over here!" She looked his way and walked over to him, smiled, and held out her hand. He took it for a moment, and then he let it go. And she said, "How'd you know who I was?" He then reached into his back pocket of his overalls and said, "From these here letters." "But there are no pictures in them," she said. He dropped his head a bit and said, "Oh, yes, there are. There are lots of pictures in your words." You see, he had spent hours reading every word, looking for every little clue that would tell him who Molly really was. He had fallen in love with her words. Get this. Words that had painted her picture. You know God's precious word is painting a picture for us of who God really is. That's our Lord. There He is. And the more you read it, and the more you meditate on it, and the more you memorize it, and the more you read it, and the more you meditate on it, and the more you memorize it, the more you feel your heart just swelling up with love for your God. Why do you think the devil fights you about Scripture reading? Why do you think he doesn't like it when you meditate on Scripture? Why do you think he doesn't like it when you memorize Scripture? Why do you think he doesn't like it when you get up early and you spend time with God? Why don't you think he likes it when you stay up late and you spend time with God? Why does he fight against that? Let me tell you why. Because he knows what will happen to your heart if you let God's Word in. You'll fall in love. Amen. Amen. You read His Word, you get to know who He is. He did that for me. You got to be kidding. Man, I love God. Let me tell you why so many people love themselves more than they love God. Because they never spend time in His Word. I'm right. And you know I'm right. Number one, we hear His recognition. Number two, we hear His instruction. And number three, we hear His caution. Joshua turns his message into one of caution and warning. He tells them if they disobey the Lord, if they cleave unto these nations and intermarry with them, that it was certain that several things would happen. He gives them four things, four cautions. The first one is found in verse number 13. Look at it. He says, know for a certainty. Now in verse 12, he says, else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto them and intermarry them. In verse 13, know for a certainty, if you do this, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they, here it is, number one, they should be snares and traps unto you. The word snare here means a net. And the word trap here means a noose. That's powerful. It also means a hook in the nose. He's saying, if you intermarry with them. In other words, here's my recognition. God has been good to you. He is being good to you. He will be good to you. Because of that, live by his word. Leave the world. Cleave unto him. Love him with all of your heart. But if you don't, and you intermarry them, and you cleave unto them instead of cleaving unto God, number one, they will be a snare to you, and they will be a trap to you. In other words, they will trap you, and they will destroy you. By the way, a man of God is not only to be a man of exhortation, he's also to be a man of warning. He's also to tell you, this is what you should do, but if you don't, here's what will happen, and I'm warning you about it. And Joshua was telling them. In other words, they would be destroyed. Then he goes on to a second thing in verse 13. And scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. He's saying there'll be snares and traps to you, then there'll be scourges and thorns to you. Can you imagine the pain and discomfort from a continual scourging? Being whipped, pow, 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 pow. Can you imagine the pain of having thorns stuck in your eyeballs? Can you imagine that? Here's what Joshua is saying. He's saying, if you leave God and you cleave unto them, what you think will give you comfort will give you tremendous pain. And there are so many people who are settling for the pain of the world instead of the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll afflict you and vex you. You'll have no peace, you'll only have pain. That's what he's saying here. You'll have no peace. It'll be a scourging and a thorn in your eye. And he goes on. He says in verses 13, 15, and 16, he says, you'll perish off the land of God's promise. Look at it. Look at verse 13. The latter part. Until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. He says the same thing pretty much in verses 15 and 16. That you will be kicked out of the land. Here's what he's saying there. You will have to settle for something less than God's best for your life. Powerful here, folks. He's saying God has given you the promised land, and I'm giving you instruction, and I'm recognizing the Lord, but I'm giving you a caution. If you don't listen to me, there'll be snares to you, there'll be scourges to you, there'll be traps to you, there'll be thorns to you, and they will kick you out of the land, and that what God had for you, the best that God had for you, will be stripped from you, and you'll have to settle for second best. That's happening all over America. It's happening to our teenagers. God willing, it's not happening to the ones here. I'm talking about just our teenagers in general around this nation. It's happening to our homes, our marriages. God has so much in store for his children. He really does. How many of us settle for second best? Because we want that more than him. How applicable is this to the day we live in? Then there's a fourth thing, which is really the worst thing, found in verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, notice this, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. He said, number one, here's my caution. There'll be snares and traps. There'll be scourges and thorns. You will have to settle for second best, and God's going to get mad at you. Whew. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God mad at you? Thought God's a God of love, he is, but he's also a God of righteous indignation. And I submit to you that he gets angry with his children. What else does that verse mean if he doesn't? I want God's smile on my life, don't you? I do. I don't want his anger. His own hands could turn from helping us to working against us. Let me tell you something. When God's working against you, you're a goner. Just a matter of time. We've got to have God's help in this life, not his anger. Now, as this dear man of God, Joshua, was dying, God has recorded this message for our learning and admonition. First thing we hear is his recognition, giving God all the praise for the past, the present, and the future. Second thing, his instruction, live by the word of God, leave the world, cleave unto God, love the Lord from your heart. And number three, we hear a caution. If your answer is no, I'll live my own way, do my own thing, fine. But it'll be snares and traps, scourges and thorns. You'll have to settle for second best, and God's going to get mad at you. What a man. What a message. May God help us to live our life saying yes to the instruction of this dying general of Jesus Christ. I will heed the caution and I will obey the instruction, recognizing he is worthy to live by his word. He's worthy to leave that and cleave unto him. He's worthy to love him with all my heart. Amen. Joshua's dying message. And may God drive it deep in our hearts. Let's pray together, please. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this message that you've recorded for us. I thank you for these three things that we've considered. As Joshua's dying and nearing the end of his life, thank you for this great message that you helped him to deliver. And we look forward to what he's going to continue to say in chapter 24. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I wonder today if you are lying on your deathbed. By the way, we're not getting better, we're getting worse. There's not as much time in our life today as there was yesterday. We're not living on, we're dying. We're getting closer and closer to eternity. Do you know the Lord? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you truly a Christian? If you drop dead of a heart attack, or if Jesus Christ came back right now, do you know that you know that you know that heaven's your home? If you don't know that, I invite you that the door is open right now. May you step through it and invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and be your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody like that tonight? You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not a Christian, or I'm not sure I'm a Christian. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? And I'm not going to come to your seat. I won't call you out. But you say, Jody, pray for me. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand, put it right back down? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Let me ask you this. Are you truly recognizing the Lord in your life? Here's this dying man of God. And instead of speaking of himself, he chooses rather to speak of his God and to say, I don't want you to hear anything about me. He said, I just simply want to draw attention to God and what he's already done, what he's doing now, and what he will do. God's been good. Have you say, Jody, God's been good to me. And the Lord's really, really, really getting on me right now because I haven't spent time recognizing him like I should. It may be verbally in your prayer life. It may be with the way you're living your life. You realize that you're not recognizing him. You're recognizing yourself. You say, Jody, God's speaking to me. I need to be more like Joshua and recognize my God and his goodness in my life and tell others about him. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God help you with it. Yes. I wonder tonight, are you truly living by God's word? Are you leaving the world and cleaving unto Jesus Christ? Do you really love God? Have you say, Jody, I love God. But God's really speaking to me tonight because I'm not really proving it by the way I'm living. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it may not be that you're out living in awful sin. I'm not asking that. It may just be that you're not reading your Bible every day. It's just something that God's told you to do that you realize that you've been disobedient. And you realize now because Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. Maybe you're convicted and you say, Jody, I love God, but I need to prove it to him better. I need to live a life that says I love you to Jesus. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. May the Lord help you with this. And I wonder tonight, right before we start singing, are you settling for something less than God's best? It may be in your marriage. It may be you as a teenager. It may be you with your family. It may be a job situation. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know. It's none of my business. But you realize that God has more for you. But you've been settling for second best. And you say, Jody, I want all God has for me. I want all God has for my marriage. I want all God has for my family. I want all that God has. I want God's best. I don't want to settle for second best. You say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me, I believe. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. May the Lord help you with this. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this simple message and use it in people's hearts. Help us to recognize you with our lives and lips. Help us to live by these instructions, live by your word, leave and cleave, and love the Lord. And help us, God, not to settle for second best. Not to settle for the snares, scourges, traps, and thorns. But Lord, go after everything you have for us. Help us now, I beg of you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.